So, your daughter hit his car, you drew a dick on his face, your cousin set his car on fire, and tried to beat him up with a baseball bat.
He's playing a little loose on those details.
No, that's basically what happened.
Why didn't you tell me about this at lunch?
Lunch?
Yeah, made plans together. Spent all day together.
And how did that happen?
He messaged me out of the blue.
And then she friend requested me. Kind of went from there. You know how it goes. Or maybe not.
So you finally figured out Facebook. What'd you take, night classes in computer literacy?
Self-taught, many hours.
Okay, am I gonna have to put you two in a timeout?
Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Richard.
And I'm Rima.
This is House Podcastica Cobra Kai Edition.
This week we're covering Cobra Kai Season 3, Episodes 9 and 10, Feel the Night and December 19.
Woohoo! Yay, but also boo!
Boo,
it's over.
Bad. Oh, tears. Lots of tears.
Man, that show delivered.
Yeah, it did.
Right?
And then some. Yeah.
Let's get into it. So it's our top three highlights for Cobra Kai Season 3, Episodes 9 and 10, Feel the Night, and December 19th. What did you think in general, Rima?
Oh my gosh. I am still floating. Like, because I watched it again earlier in prep for us recording. And I mean, I was still on a high because I watched it immediately, right? We were all so excited the last week when we recorded.
Yeah, we all three did because Richard texted us. It was awesome. And I'm like, I know.
Yeah. Yep. We were like, yes, it was. So it was really funny that we all immediately, because we were so excited to see what happened next. And my gosh, I was still, so it's been a week since my first watch and I was still just floating and in this like elevated just like happiness over this show and how awesome it was. And then it just refreshed it again today for me, like, oh my gosh, this was amazing. So I don't know if I'm gonna really be able to put two thoughts together because I'm still just like so excited. I haven't really been able to come down and like I don't feel like give it a fair analysis. I'm just over the moon over these last two episodes. They were
I just
amazing.
Hope this show hasn't like shot it to wad, you know. Terry Silver might be coming up, but that's
I know. I hope not. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, because we were talking about like them going to a tournament. That was going to be the last episode, but then they're like, no, we'll just extend the tournament for the entire next season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know you don't like hearing this, like you don't feel it's necessary for people to say, Rima, but I'll say you were right. So sorry.
Wait, can I get
that
on a loop?
Yeah. And the way they did it, I mean, I thought, well, they've already had build-ups to tournaments, like why would they do another one of those? But the way they did it, it was so intense with all the fighting at the end, and then for Kreese to say, let's solve it at the tournament after the two good guy dojos got together, it's like, okay, that's enough of a build-up to make a whole season worth of, you know, building up to the tournament seemed like a good idea.
I agree.
So what about you, Rich? What'd you think?
Yeah, I thought it was completely awesome. I liked how, well, I watched it right after we did our last podcast and like every single question we were talking about was answered in like the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
So I was like, oh, that's convenient.
And you know, this is a show too that is kind of predictable in some ways. Like, I thought maybe Allie would have gotten a divorce right as Johnny was hooking up with Carmen finally, just to make it more complicated. And I've watched too many soap operas, that's the kind of thing. But even when it's predictable, it's still great because it's basically, I mean, not necessarily that situation, but a lot of times you predict something and it happens and it's what you want it to happen.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah.
Yeah, and we got a lot of that in these two episodes.
Yeah,
like one of my highlights was all the stuff they were reminiscing about, and they answered a lot of those questions.
I know.
Too.
Yeah, Rima early on in the podcast was talking about, we'll get into that more later, but about whether Allie would get to tell her side of the story. Of course.
Do I get another? How they broke up? Right? kind of thing.
I thought you were right about that back then, too. I mean, it would be crazy if they didn't do that. But yes, you were right. All right. So I thought it was amazing and full of great moments, you know, and they did Allie perfectly. I mean, my only thing is I'm kind of sad that it looks like that's going to be it for her on the show. But it sort of makes sense for the story, too. She came home for Christmas, you know, and now she's gone. And it was done so well. So maybe she'll come back in later. Who knows? But anyway, I really love these two episodes. So let's get into our top three. Rima, what's your number three?
Well, I don't feel bad for going first because I feel like we're all probably going to have this point. So I'm going to talk about it first. And that's Allie with an I. Absolutely amazing that as soon as that ninth episode started, you know, I was kind of confused. It took me a moment to get the house, right? Because they showed the front of the house. It looked exactly the same. It had to be the same one, right?
Oh, I didn't even notice, yeah.
I think it did. I think it was the same one from Karate Kid when his mom picked up Allie.
Off the thing.
Yeah.
I wonder if the brick is missing.
Oh, that would be hilarious if after all these years they didn't get it fixed. Right. but it took me a minute. And I'm like, okay, where are they going with this? And all of a sudden, there's Allie on the couch. So I thought an amazing and I thought kind of organic way to bring Allie back. And of course, we've been, you know, hoping that that happened all season, as we've talked about season three. So I thought it was great, the introduction to Allie.
They showed her mom and I'm like, who's this woman? I didn't recognize her.
And did you guys recognize her?
No, because it's a different actress.
Oh,
and that bugs me because this show is so good about bringing back people. And I looked and this actress who did play her is still working right up into 2021. She's got a ton of credits. This is Shannon May and the original actress is Shannon Wilcox. Both Shannons? Anyways. Maybe it is the same one and she got it. No, because I saw two different IMDb pages and it didn't look the same. But maybe they got a different actress just so it wouldn't tip us off right away and it would be a surprise.
Maybe she wasn't available. I mean, a lot of it has to do with scheduling, you know? Yeah. It could be just scheduling. I don't know, but it that did throw me off. And then I thought, gosh, has it been so long since I've seen Karate Kid that I don't recognize? But I mean, we didn't see her mom for very long in the movie, so I thought whatever. So I wasn't tipped off.
I knew because I'm a super fan. I was like, that's not the same way.
okay, that's fair. But I love that. I love that her and Johnny got together for lunch. I love the conversation that they had. I thought it was really funny that, you know, Johnny is pretending to kind of be someone he's not to like impress Allie by ordering that vegan dish at lunch.
The vegan mung doll bowl.
Yeah, and Allie's just kind of looking at him like, that doesn't sound like the Johnny I remember. And so she orders a cheeseburger, and he's like, I'll have the same. And she's like, there he is, you know, because she's like, that's the person I want to see, not somebody who's, you know, being fake and trying to impress her. So
when she's like, what kind of car do you have? Oh, a 93 Dodge Caravan. Oh, fine, don't tell me then. Yeah. And then she seemed to, like, judge him on it a little, which is a total Karate Kid trope.
Yep, totally. So I thought all that was great. I love their talk during lunch, you know, Johnny owning up, you know, to being a jerk back in the day when they were teenagers and dating. And I like how Allie kind of owned up for her part too, you know, and kind of like, well, I might have had, you know, a few things that played a part. You know, she's like, I don't even remember what we were so mad about or what I was so mad about. And it was just kind of fun because it's like, you know, you realize, you know, that you're just kids. And, you know, how easy it was to kind of forgive a lot of that and how all of us, you know, like they said, you know, during the country club dinners, we all kind of had our heads up our ass at 17, right? So you kind of forgive a little bit of that.
Yeah, hopefully our kids are smarter than us. Cut to kids battling in the house, destroying
the WWE show that's happening in the LaRusso household.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. So I loved all of that. I loved all the interactions with Allie and Johnny and Allie and Johnny and Daniel at the Christmas party. I thought it was great. It was fun. All the recaps as Allie's talking about what has happened between Johnny and Daniel since high school. I love the look when she is telling Daniel, she says, well, it's just Mills now. And the look that Daniel, he looks at Johnny and gives him this look and Daniel gives him Johnny gives a look back and it was
Johnny's
hilarious.
Eyebrow goes up as he's sipping his drink.
Mm-hmm. Aww, yeah.
Absolutely loved it. And then their dinner conversation is Allie talks about what happened when her and Daniel broke up. So, like I've been waiting to hear the other side of the story, because I was like, I feel like Daniel's just going on this. It's not fair. And we don't know what really happened, because Daniel has a habit of flying off the handle and kind of jumping to conclusions. And when she's talking about, you know, I was just talking to this friend, he was a real friend of mine, and you jump to conclusions about that. And it was funny, the look Amanda gives to Daniel, like, oh, really? That sounds familiar. Right, like, she knows that's exactly what he is known for.
And it's a bummer that even, I don't know, they broke up just because he was jealous. Like, we didn't really see that side of him in Karate Kid where he would jump to conclusions and be so jealous that they would break up. So that was kind of sad. And she said she egged him on, so you kind of wonder, like, I'd like to be there for it. But I have the two sides of the argument. I took clips from Karate Kid 2 and Cobra Kai, so we could just hear the two different versions of the story. Want to hear that?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Here's Karate Kid 2.
Oh, Daniel-san, must have been something your prom. What happened?
You mean what didn't happen? First, I let Allie borrow the car and she redesigns my fender. And I don't know what she did with the engine, but that ain't running right either. You know what else she does? She tells me that she's just fallen in love with some football player from UCLA. Why don't you just lie to me?
Things could be worse.
He does sound like he's totally flown off the handle. Like, yeah, he's triggered big time.
Just lie to me?
We did kind of see that a little bit in Karate Kid whenever he went to the country club to go meet Allie. And whenever they were dancing, Johnny was like egging it on and dancing with her and made it look like it was something more. And he didn't even wait around to hear what Allie had to say or find out what was going on. He just got mad, fell into the spaghetti, which is another throwback in this episode, and then runs off. And it's not until later that he realizes,
I don't know. I mean... Like I said before, when we had this exact same conversation, if you're in a room full of people and you've gotten something spilled on you and every single person points at you and laughs, you might not want to stick around.
That's true. That's true.
Here's the Cobra Kai, the Allie's version.
Wait. How the hell was he dressed like a shower? What does that even look like?
Oh my God, it was so funny.
Okay, and then this one comes running out dressed like a toddler in skeleton pajamas, chasing after him.
Stop. Okay, maybe we can just fast forward through all that.
Yeah, fast forward.
Oh, no. Then it got worse and worse until the tournament. And then they pretty much, they left each other alone, and I thought that was that.
So their rivalry wasn't the reason you and Daniel broke up?
No, that was... That was a whole other story.
We don't need to go into all that.
Oh, I'd like to hear this.
I think I need to hear it.
Okay, I'll tell it. So I got into UCLA, and I ran into this guy that I knew who went there. Daniel sees me talking to my friend.
Your friend?
Yes, he was my friend, actually. He jumps to conclusions. Well, I was a little bit upset, so I probably maybe egged you on.
Yeah, you sure you egged me on? Yeah, all right, listen. I thought you were in love with the guy.
I told you, just like I told you that the brakes on Mr. Miyagi's car were gonna go. I hope you didn't tell him that it was my fault it crashed.
No, of course not.
This is the best story I have ever heard. Please keep going.
Oh, should we talk about what a bad boyfriend you were?
No.
So yeah, it sounds like it was mostly his fault, but she egged him on, so.
Yeah. She owned up to that, though.
Yeah. I don't know what that means. What did she do? Start kissing the guy?
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
I do love him.
Right, that's egging him on.
Yeah. But either way, the whole thing with Allie was great. I thought they did a great job introducing her. I thought the story flowed really well. And, I mean, Elizabeth Shue is just absolutely amazing. I mean, I hope I look as good as she does at 57.
Oh my God, I can't believe she's that old.
I can't believe she's that old, but yeah, she's 57 and looks absolutely amazing.
I'm not saying that's like super old, but she looks good, like you're saying.
She does. And her smile, she's got such a wonderful smile. It just lights up her room. So
she did a great job of recapturing the essence of the character. And maybe that's because it's close to her. Who knows? I mean, she's an actor, so who knows? But she had the same mannerisms and laugh and everything.
Yeah. A lot of laughing, a lot of giggling.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Yeah, same for me. That's my number one too. Was Johnny and Allie. It was a cute little device plot. You know, what do they call it?
Plot device.
Deus Ex Machina. I think they say it. Deus Ex Machina. There's your word for the day, kids. No, they had Allie, who was the reason there was a rivalry between Johnny and Daniel in the first place, and she was the one that brings them back together in the end. So I thought that was pretty cool how they did that.
Yeah, it really didn't occur to me. I mean, it must have occurred to me, but it really brought it home watching these episodes that Allie, I mean, when Miguel was talking to Daniel and Miguel says, well, Sensei Lawrence acted that way because Allie was his first love. And I'm like, oh, that makes it a little more sense why he would be just such a jerk about it, because he's really fired up. And then Daniel says, well, she was my first love too. Yeah. And so then I'm like, okay, yeah, actually Allie is kind of at the center of this whole thing.
Yeah.
None of this would have happened. I mean, I'm not blaming her, but if not for Allie, none of these movies would have even happened. Daniel probably wouldn't have learned karate.
And it's the same with Samantha. They just recycled that, you know? She seems to be the center of what's going on with the kids in this particular case.
Yeah. And you're right. Yeah. It's really cool that then she's the one who brings them together.
Yeah. And I liked a lot how Johnny was honest with Allie at the, you know, when they were having their cheeseburgers, and it really seemed to center and kind of ground him, you know, bring him back into the moment. And I think she's good for him. And he even says at the end that he needed their time together. I think when they were hugging, he says, thanks, I needed that, you know?
Mm-hmm. She says, I did too. Yeah, yeah. And Rima already kind of mentioned that she really appreciated the real Johnny, the cheeseburger loving Johnny. And the guy who says he's sorry and admits that his life didn't go that well, that he partied through his 20s and 30s and he hasn't been a good father. That's authentic, and she loves that. And I think too, you know, he almost wrote that 30-page message about Iron Eagle. I don't know if she would have liked that, but then
maybe too authentic, maybe
a little too much. But then the next one that he wrote was nice, but he deleted it, and he had Miguel take all those glam pictures, which some of them were kind of fun, but still the point is that they weren't really him being real. He was posing. He was a poser, literally. But he took all those down. We didn't really talk about that before. He ended up taking those down, and he put up pictures of him with his students instead. And even though he kind of took away that message that was really good and just said, I'm fine, how about you, or whatever, he left those pictures up, and she mentions them a couple of times that's what, you know, she really liked them. So I think just that was another thing showing that she appreciates him being real. And that's what, you know, attracts her. She was clearly attracted to him throughout this episode.
Oh, yeah.
And it made it even better too that in real life, you know, on the set, the actors, they still had really good chemistry together too. So, and I got caught up in all the nostalgia right along with them, because after they got done messing around at golf and stuff, that, you know, they were sitting on the bench getting a little bit flirty, and I was thinking, oh yeah, Ollie and Johnny hooking up, man. It didn't really bother me at that moment, because I was in the moment. But then
Carmen who?
No. Yeah, then later on I'm like, probably best they didn't do anything, you know, what with Carmen and Miguel and all.
I mean, I was like, this show has just mixed up all my emotions in the most wonderful way, but, you know, I'm totally 100% behind Johnny. And when she's like, I didn't realize how cold it gets in the valley, I'm like, oh, that's an obvious come on.
Yeah.
And it's sweet. But then there was a little part of me that kicked in at some point that's like, oh, she's liking Johnny. She's supposed to like Daniel. Really? You know, it's just how much I identified with him in Karate Kid, and Johnny was the bad guy, and she was like the prize, you know? There's a part of me that was like, oh no, but I'm like, well, no, it's fine. It's good. Johnny's, you know, they're both great people, and this is done so well. And then I was like, well, but why would she go for Johnny and not Daniel right now? Well, he's married, but does she know that? No, but Johnny's the one who contacted her out of the blue. And, you know, they talk about first loves. I think Johnny was probably Allie's first love, maybe, you know, perhaps, back in high school. Mm-hmm. And they just had a really good date, and they were really connecting, and he was being real, and it made a lot of sense. So it was just really sweet.
She's on the rebound.
Yeah, she's on Rebound. Yeah. So they're on their date. And what about Carmen? Yeah. So I think at the end there, when, okay, so it's interesting because Johnny and Carmen are in bed, and there's a little sense that maybe he's nervous, you know, about it. And she's like, what's going to happen with us now? And he's like, I don't know. And he says to Allie, he's messed up every relationship he's ever had, starting with her. So, but he's also, when Carmen says, can we talk about this later? And he's like, you bet. And gives her a kiss. So you can tell he likes her. And it was really sweet too, that he said he didn't want to mess up things with Miguel. But he's nervous because he just hasn't been able to do this right. And now he's tempted by Allie, who we've seen through this whole series. His heart is always with Allie. He's loved her for decades. And now here she is flirting with him. It's like, holy shit. But he realizes when he's talking to her at the end there, when she says that Amanda told her, who's this woman that you've been dating? And I think he realizes then that, no, I actually love Carmen now. And he says it even to himself afterwards. When he's rehearsing what he's going to say to Carmen, I realize,
oh, yeah, yeah,
I love you. And so I think even in that moment at the end with Allie and Johnny, where they're kind of talking like, okay, this isn't going to happen. It was nice to revisit our childhood and remember how it was, but you got to live for the future. And they're kind of talking as if it's not going to happen. But I still felt like, if he had decided to kiss her, she would have been open to it.
Oh, yeah.
In that moment.
Oh, totally.
And he doesn't. You know, totally. They go in for the hug and he hugs her instead. And he says, I needed that. But he made the choice right then. Nope. That's not where I'm at now. I'm with Carmen now. So that was my
right,
take on
man,
that whole thing.
That must have been a difficult decision.
I know. He's like, you ever been in a threesome? No. I'm editing that part out.
He's got like, he's sandwiched between two hot babes. Which one? What do I do?
Yeah. It was cool. And, you know, when Daniel also apologized, or started to apologize to Allie about the way things ended, and she said, you know, we were young. And when I think back, the good far outweighs the bad, no matter how it ended. And I don't know, but I felt like maybe there was some bad blood between Elizabeth Shue and Ralph Macchio, just by the way I've heard her talk about him in interviews over the years. She's kind of dismissive about him. And I don't know, this is speculation, so I don't know anything, but I wondered if there was some realness between the two actors in that scene too.
Hmm.
You know,
interesting.
And I did feel like there was more chemistry between Johnny and Allie in this episode than Daniel and Allie.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I remember what I was going to say too. I was going to say that Allie had mentioned in their conversation that she was like, what were we even so mad at each other about? So maybe she didn't really even remember, or I don't know if she was just playing off of him or what, but you know, I mean, it's the same for us, right? If we met someone that we hadn't seen for 40 years since high school, it'd be pretty hard to remember everything that happened.
Johnny said what it was that he did that pissed her off. I think he stayed out at a party and stood her up or something. I forget.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought it was because he broke the radio.
Several episodes ago. No, why they broke up in the first place.
Oh.
You know, because by the time the radio thing came around, they'd already been broken up for a couple of weeks.
Oh, okay.
But I think in Cobra Kai at some point, he said he stayed out drinking with the boys or something.
I think when
like
he was talking
that.
To Miguel, maybe. Vaguely remember that conversation.
Anything else?
No. That's it for Johnny and Allie.
For Allie. Mine is Allie too. We've talked about a lot of it, so let me look through my notes. I liked that it opens, it's a Christmas episode, which is nice. And it opens with the song over the last 4 or 5 years that has been my favorite Christmas song. it's Merry Christmas by the Waitresses. Is that what it's called?
I think it's
called Christmas Wrapping. And it's like, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, but I think I'll miss this one this year. And the camera, as that's playing, pans around to reveal Allie. And she has a little exchange with her mom, and then she goes, "Don't worry about me. I have some plans." And then it cuts right to the Cobra Kai logo in Christmas green and red as the song is saying "Merry Christmas." And I'm like, this is their Christmas present to us. It's Allie, because they know we've all been wanting it.
Yeah.
And I wonder if they meant to air this during Christmas, you know, because it got delayed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I bet they did.
It's going to become a Christmas tradition now, this episode, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, during the fight, in the big fight in the house, they're playing a heavy metal version of "God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen."
I like that. I like that version. That was
pretty fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wonder if that's what also helped prompt them to move it up a week, because for a long time it was supposed to have been released the second week or so of January. And then like just a few weeks prior to that, they bumped it to New Year's Day, which you're still kind of in. You know, the Christmas spirit, you're still kind of in holiday mode. So, yeah, it would kind of fallen in nicely with a little bit of a Christmas theme happening. So, I don't know.
Looking through, we've talked about a lot of this. I would order the vegan Mung Dal bowl. It's dal's really good. It's Indian.
Ooh, maybe if the word vegan wasn't in front of it.
I was going to say that,
it's
yeah.
It's vegetarian. It's good.
It's vegan.
I would have had the burger and fries.
I mean, I always love a burger, too. Yeah, about Allie instigating Johnny and Daniel being together, she said that they're more alike than they want to admit, and they recognize parts of themselves in each other, and maybe they don't always like what they see. That is so common, you know? A lot of times when I'm really annoyed with someone, I'm like, wait, I think I'm kind of like that sometimes. Yeah. So that was really, really cool. And it especially fits this series where people are complex and they're the same side of the coin or the other side of the same coin and stuff like that. And they can trade places and mix and match. I don't think it really applies back in Karate Kid where Johnny was just being a dick. But anyway,
I like that. If you ever met yourself, you would hate yourself, right?
Yeah, yeah. But I like that Allie, when they're like, Johnny goes, "I guess it's possible some small part of this is my fault." Emphasis on small. Daniel's like, "Yeah, me too." And Allie's like, "Point Mills, winner," which is a tournament callback.
And it was Daniel who said, "Merry Christmas, Johnny," first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Johnny's all, "Merry Christmas, LaRusso," or Daniel.
Daniel.
Which was a really sweet moment. So cool.
Loved it.
A little bit of foreshadowing, perhaps. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Number two.
My number two is "The enemy of your enemy is your friend."
Oh, so please explain it to me. I'm serious. I didn't really quite get that.
Oh, okay. Well, for me, anyway, I mean, Kreese is the one that brings this up, you know, as he's talking to Hawk. And I thought, because Hawk is upset that Robbie has, you know, is there at Cobra Kai and he doesn't, you know, like all of that. What this episode for me, bringing them together, specifically Johnny and Daniel teaming up and uniting Miyagi-Do and Eagle Fang, I had like the biggest emotional orgasm over this happening. At the end, when you've got Daniel and Miyagi-Do, you've got Johnny and his Eagle Fang kids coming in, and they, all the kids, you know, reunite, because a lot of these kids were all friends, you know, but then they've become divided between all of these different dojos.
And they're all like in pairs. There's Mitch and Chris, the big, and then there's the little Asian kid and the white
little
kid.
Dudes.
And I loved when Sam tricks them into coming together at the house, and they're all like, "You guys started that. Oh yeah, well, you broke so-and-so's arm." And he goes, "I hate your stupid face." And then the little Asian kid goes, if you died, I wouldn't even attend your funeral.
That's so funny. But it's like, that's what they were coming together for, is, but they both have this common enemy. They're both, you know, getting bullied, or both groups of kids are getting bullied and beat on by Cobra Kai, and they know that they need to come together, and Sam's trying to bring them together, and Miguel's trying to help do that as well. And then by the end, we get Johnny and Daniel, which I have been waiting for since this show started, for this to happen.
I thought it might not be until the end, but it was cool.
I don't know. I don't think it's permanent, but I mean, yeah. The emotions that ran through me when I see them come together and they give each other a little like nod to each other, the kids come together and they're all high-fiving and the binary brothers are back together and all the kids bow to Johnny and Daniel, and then Johnny and Daniel bow together. Oh my God. Or bow to each other. I'm sorry. I thought I was going to lose my shit. I mean, that was such a freaking moment. Awesome, yeah. It was absolutely amazing. So,
and then 5 minutes later, they're going to be arguing about techniques.
Right. I know. That's why. And that was my point, is I feel like it's, you know, they're doing this now because I feel like they're kind of following the theme of like what they were doing in Karate Kid when they called for a truce, because the tournament hasn't happened yet. You know, shit is brewing and these kids are fighting and it's causing a lot of problems. And I feel like they're coming together because they do have this common enemy, you know, in Kreese, and they know that he needs to be stopped. And I feel like they've got like this temporary truce, like until the tournament, it's hands off of each other and they're going to train for the tournament. And that's when it's going to happen. Kind of like, you know, it did at Karate Kid. So I don't feel,
but maybe.
No, that's just what I'm feeling. Yeah. That's what I'm feeling. These are just my thoughts and predictions, because I don't think they're going to turn out to be best friends, but I feel like that they know that they have a common goal and they can achieve that goal by coming together rather than doing it alone. So I feel like it's a very temporary thing.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, well, if they're going to team up, that's awesome, but what could it be that splits them back apart? You know, and I'm thinking the only thing that I know of right now is Robbie.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they introduce something else, you know?
Yeah. I mean, when Kreese said the enemy of my enemy is my friend, he was specifically talking about Robbie and trying to get Hawk to be okay with having Robbie be a part of Cobra Kai.
Yeah, right. I didn't quite understand it, because in the fight at the house, at the LaRusso's house, right before Hawk switches sides, you know, he's hearing all the voices in his head, and the last line he heard was, "The enemy of my enemy is my friend." But I couldn't work it out. It's like, what is he talking about? I mean, he's going to help his former friend. What's his name?
It's hard to keep track. Huh?
Dimitri.
Yeah, yeah. He wants to go help Dimitri, right? But is Dimitri his enemy of the enemy? So now he's his friend. I didn't quite get it, anyways.
Yeah,
but it was cool. In the end,
I mean, that moment where Hawk changes his mind, it felt a little contrived to me. But we did see that he was pretty upset after Tori egged him on in breaking Dimitri's arm.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And I guess now looking at this fighting, he just started to feel bad about it. I'm not sure exactly why.
Right. I felt it was kind of a surprise. But on second watch through too, it's also, I noticed he was kind of not a fan of Robbie joining too. So maybe that helped push him to the other side too, you know?
Well, and he didn't like, you know, Kreese, you know, he brought in some of those other kids like Kyler and some of those other kids and kind of made him fight for the position. And he lost some of his friends from Cobra Kai. They got kicked out.
That's
because
true.
They lost their position. So there was, I think, a lot of things just kind of building.
They lost penis breath.
Yeah, didn't have penis breath around anymore.
You're not allowed
but, you know,
to call me that.
Kind of losing their friends. And I think he just kept disagreeing with Kreese. So, and didn't like having Robbie around.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. When that last scene, I especially like the way they staged it. I think they showed Daniel first and the Miyagi-Do, and then some of the Cobra Kai kids came in, Hawk, and gives Miguel a hug. And then, some of the other like kids that are enemies, Mitch and Chris, high five, and the Asian kid and the white kid. Then the camera turns and you see Johnny, and it's In the Air Tonight, Phil Collins.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. Feel it coming in the air tonight. And then I've been waiting for this moment. And then Johnny comes in, and that's like, and then they bow to the everybody else and each other. And then Daniel says, ready. And then Johnny's all, let's begin. That's it.
Right. So I was pretty excited thinking, that would be cool to have them like combine their moves, like all the stuff Johnny knows and all the stuff Daniel knows. You can make a pretty badass kid out of these two guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's that, I mean, they have shown that they know how to get the most out of these different situations. So I feel like Johnny and Daniel teaching together is definitely not going to go smoothly, but it's going to be really entertaining. And maybe by the end they'll learn how to do it together. But I think at first it's going to be rough.
Yeah.
Right.
But we'll see.
I'm going to enjoy my little buzz while it lasts until season four comes out, and then they're kind of back to...
Well, it'll be fun. Spring.
But it's going to be super fun.
Yeah. Rich?
Oh, you know what? I enjoy the adult perspective. We talked about this already a little bit, but it was so much fun listening to Daniel and Johnny and Allie talking about what happened in high school and just getting their adult perspectives on all the stupid shit they did.
Mm-hmm. I like, yeah, Allie says he was in his like skeleton pajamas.
Yeah.
Like a toddler. Pajamas. I'm like, I thought that was cool.
It's like, we look badass.
Yeah. And like you said, Rima, their conclusion at the end of all that was, God, we had our heads up our asses so far when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
Truth.
Oh my gosh. That's
they
sure.
did. They also talked about, or no, it wasn't them. Actually, it was Daniel and Miguel, huh, in the car, where Daniel actually addressed the illegal kick. He was like, hey, man, anything above the waist is legal.
Yeah.
And you did the same kick, you know.
You did the same kick. Right. It's the same stuff we've talked about on the podcast before, kind of trying to work it out.
And yeah.
But you tried to take his girl. They hadn't talked in weeks. I didn't even know he existed when we were on that beach. And he... threw a radio down. I was being chivalrous. But then when he goes, what about the hose? What hose?
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's like, oh, it was just sitting right there.
Right, yeah.
He's teed up for me, man. What am I going to do?
You would have done the same thing. I'm like, done the same.
And I'm like, okay, Daniel, come on. Like, not always right.
Yeah, I agreed with him, too, on the water hose thing, except for that part where he seems to imply that Johnny deserved it. I'm like, yes, maybe, but it's like you're still throwing gasoline on a raging fire by doing
exactly.
that.
Yeah, it doesn't help. I think he totally deserved help. That and more, but it probably wasn't smart. And he also said to Miguel, Johnny totally overreacted, which is definitely true, considering he nearly killed him after that.
Yes. Agree with
but
that
yeah,
too.
All the adult perspectives, even when he was talking to Miguel in the car and Miguel getting Daniel's side of the story, that was pretty interesting, actually, you know. And Miguel didn't seem to sway him one way or the other. He just seemed to brush it off and was just kind of like, yeah, sounds like my sensei.
Yeah. Well, I loved it because it seemed to kind of get through Daniel a little bit. I think it's what made him a little bit more open later on in the episode when they all came together. He's kind of like, oh, that's it. Kind of allowed him to see Johnny's perspective because he's like, what else did your sensei tell you? And that's when you see them in the car and they're talking. And I think Daniel kind of understands it a little bit like, oh, you know, Allie was his first love, and that kind of, you know, doesn't make it okay, you know, how he beat the shit out of Daniel and bullied him and things, but he could kind of understand why he might be feeling that way. So I liked that.
Yeah. And it made me, I was the same way. I was like, oh yeah, if you really think, I mean, it still doesn't excuse everything Johnny did at all, but it still, you can sort of identify with it at least.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I could see that was my, and you know what I really love too, is when, Johnny comes to the country club and he sees Allie and Daniel talking and laughing and hugging. And my first thought, and yours and everybody's, I'm sure, was probably when Daniel came in and saw Allie and Johnny together, right? That's what it was a reflection of. But to Johnny, it was a reflection of when he saw Daniel and Allie on the beach frolicking around with the soccer ball, because it's totally like triggers that in him, like there he is again
taking my girl.
Another flashback.
Yep.
Stop living in the past.
I love that so much. It's like, oh yeah, that's he wouldn't be thinking about when they were in the country club before. He'd be thinking about that beach, what happened on the beach.
I know, and that first opening scene was like you said, Rima, was the spaghetti sauce. And so you're like, I saw the spaghetti sauce, and then I saw
Johnny
looking at Daniel. I'm like, uh-oh, is it going to be a spaghetti incident?
Yeah. Well, they know that most of us are are fans. I mean, who knows? Maybe there's even more people watching Cobra Kai now that don't know the movies that well, but a lot of us know that scene where Daniel came dressed in all white and got spaghetti sauce spilled all over him and everybody laughed. And so they have Johnny in his white blazer, which is a tease. Mm-hmm. That was in the episode before. And then, mm-hmm. and then this episode, they show them preparing the spaghetti in the kitchen. And the chef is like, don't skimp on the sauce and make sure you serve it hot. And we're like, oh, here it comes. And then you see the guy walking around with the trays, and it's a fake out because there's like 5-6 bowls of heavily laden, you know, pasta, sauce laden pasta. And then Daniel and Amanda walk in. So it's like, oh no, we've gone back in time. We see them arriving at the party. And then later you see Allie say Daniel with an L, which is a callback to when they first learned each other's names on the soccer field. And then they start talking, and then they hug, and you see Johnny come in, and he sees that and looks really disturbed. And here comes the guy with the sauce. And you're like, here it comes, and he backs away, and he's like, hey, watch where you go with that. You want to get that all over me? I'm wearing white.
Right.
That was so good. It's like perfect, man.
It was amazing.
Oh my god, they could not have done that any better.
No. I agree.
The writers are really good at fan service.
Yeah.
And I wonder, for people, if anyone listening has never seen Karate Kid, or you saw it once, you don't really remember all this stuff, if you thought it was weird that they kept focusing on the spaghetti sauce, or, you know, how that impacted you. Because for someone who's a fan of the movies, it was like total tease.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was great.
All right. I think it's my turn, right? Are you done, mm-hmm. Rich? So just a quick one, but Miguel and Daniel, like, I've really wanted Daniel to connect with Miguel because he's such a good kid, and Daniel has only had negative thoughts about him. So when he came in and saw his daughter, or him on top of his daughter, I was like, ah, crap.
Awkward.
Like this, you know, they're just not helping. Ramping up the drama again. Here it comes. But then Sam said to Daniel, you know, Miguel's changed. He's a good person. He's not even in Cobra Kai anymore. And Daniel said, okay, maybe you're right. And I'm like, oh, good. I like when a show knows when to dial back and just kind of ease that tension, you know, and do the thing that you've been hoping would happen. And it did. And then mm-hmm. They shook hands and they connected and everything. And so I love that. And Miguel ends up training under Daniel and Johnny. And so I'm really happy that that happened. And it was also interesting to see Miguel in the dojo for the first time, like looking at all the Karate Kid artifacts and stuff, and mm-hmm. the drum and everything. And then we get to see Sam show him the drum technique, try to hit me. But when she was doing it, it looked like just blocking. Whereas, I mean, when we talked about Karate Kid 2, we said it was kind of confusing what Daniel was doing with Chosen, but it felt like he was blocking and then hitting with his other hand. And
yeah,
she wasn't really doing that.
Right. Hey, is that my drum in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?
Is that my drum in your pocket? Like, oh no.
Double insult.
Awkward.
I remember one time being over at my first girlfriend Tara's house, and we didn't think anybody was home, and I was laying on the couch and she was laying on top of me, and we weren't doing anything. We were just laying there, but still. And her dad walked in, and she's just like, kneed me in the nuts, because she was like, oh, and fell
trying
off
to
couch.
get up very quickly and inadvertently.
He goes back in the room, come talk to me and to her, and that was one of the most awkward moments of my entire life.
Well, you made it out alive, so that's a good thing. Yeah.
I remember Tara.
Yeah, Richard and Tara were best friends.
Oh boy, I'm sensing a story there.
Yeah, you know, that's actually when I became aware of the parallels between Samantha and Allie was in the dojo when Daniel was having his little talk with Samantha, and he's like, you know, I'm just concerned. In the past year, there's been Kyler, and then Miguel, and then Robbie, and now back to Miguel. I'm like, yeah, she's kind of juggling there. A lot of
like
drama.
Daniel does.
Yeah.
Allie and
that's a good point.
Kimiko and.
Yep. Right.
Just taking after you, Dad.
Yeah, right. You have to support me no matter what, Dad. You're right.
That is a very good point, Rima. Okay, where are we? Rima, number one.
Number one. I'm just going to say it now. I'm predicting we're going to get Terry fucking Silver next season.
I like it.
Thank you. I was hoping one of you would jump in.
We better get that actor, too. Michael Ian Griffiths. If it's anybody else, it's not going to work.
It's not going to be right. They can't switch him like they did Allie's mom. That was fine, right. And that was not a big deal, but they
they're
going
to have to put some makeup on him to age him up because he's actually
is he younger
than Ralph Macchio.
Oh, no really? Shit.
Yeah. So they need to make him look like
that's crazy.
Creases equal, you know?
Oh, gosh. I didn't know that. That's weird to think about that. Because
Back in Karate Kid 3, Ralph Macchio was so, well, he was kind of pudgy, but he wasn't. He was small compared to Michael Ian Griffiths, who was just this beefy, athletic dude. But he was actually, I think, a year or two younger.
What is it? Oh, I got to look him up now. Does he look younger?
He doesn't, like his face. Well, I think I saw a black and white picture of him on IMDb, and he doesn't look aged a lot in his face. I mean, he's older.
His hair's gray.
He's got a little bit of gray hair, but his face still looks fairly youngish. But it was a black and white photo. It's kind of hard to tell. I hope they bring him back. I feel like they're teeing that right up, just like they have everything else, you know, as far as like, you know, the original movie, Karate Kid, bringing so many things back from that. Karate Kid 2, we got a lot of that this season, and they talk about it a lot. And this season was, which they've talked in reference the third Karate Kid movie before, but this was pretty heavy for me in this season, talking a lot about the third Karate Kid movie and going back.
Flashback and
stuff. Yeah, the Mike Barnes flashbacks. We've gotten all the Kreese Vietnam flashbacks, which, you know, I thought was really interesting. I definitely am not sympathizing with Kreese, but it helps me understand a little bit of what made him what he is. I mean, he went through some shit, that's for sure. He found out that, you know, his girl died while he's over there and that his CEO kept it from him. You know, he had to fight his CEO, and he did it in place of Terry Silver. When we hear Terry Silver, like, oh, he saved my life, and it, you know, I'll always be there for him, but we don't really know what he did. Well, now we know what he did.
Yeah, and he says the same thing, I owe you.
Yeah, and he says it again here. Because Kreese knew he was going to lose that fight. Like, Terry Silver would not have, you know, won that fight against their CEO. So he, you know, did that in place for him. And so just seeing what he did and what he went through, you kind of see, oh, okay, so now we know why Kreese is the way he is. Not that it's okay or excuses anything, but I like finding what makes people tick and kind of what makes them who they are, even if they're good or bad.
Well, this show has been about humanizing the villain, right? And we always thought that's where they were going with Kreese. And they have this whole setup where they're prisoners of war and the bad guys are making them fight to the death against each other over a pit of cobras, I presume, or snakes anyway,
mm-hmm.
you know, which felt like a Batman thing, like, this is his origin, right?
Yeah.
Instead of
bats,
it's
origin
snakes.
Story.
And then he
went
on to start Cobra Kai. But, you know, the captain inside the cage is saying, you know, hey, there's no more ranks anymore. It's every man for himself. And then when they go out to fight and he's got him hanging on that bridge above the pit of snakes, and then the cavalry comes in with the, and you can tell they're about to be saved. And he goes, I'm not going to make the mistake of not, you know, listening to your lesson anymore. No mercy. And he steps on his foot and kills him, basically. I was like, oh, shit. Like, I mean, we know that the captain had just been willing to fight him for the death, but that's because they were put in a situation where they had to. It was one or the other. And also, we know the captain had hidden from him that his girlfriend died to help him focus more. And he even chuckled about it. So that's bad, too. But to kill him for that, like, that makes me feel like less sympathetic towards Kreese. I mean, there is a part of me that's like, yeah, you might be damaged just from being in the war, so we should still be sympathetic. But I feel like this is the show subverting expectations on another level, another meta level, because usually the way it subverts expectations is to humanize the villain. So now that it's got us trained to think that's what it's going to do, it's like, nope, he's a psycho.
Something snapped in him and went the wrong
way.
He's
bad. And then he's like, at the end, he's got a piece of glass up to Daniel and he's like, it's time for you to go and meet Miyagi. And after seeing what we saw, it's like, oh, he's a killer.
He's
pulled
capable.
Out that side ready to stab Johnny with it too.
Yeah, that's what I was like. I was like, is he going to kill those, you know, kill them? That's crazy.
That's extreme. That's not just like fighting. That's
Even though I've said I like the whole gray area humanizing thing, I think, oh man, they did it to us again. They subverted our expectations and made Kreese more like the Darth Vader of... I mean, he's become this great villain. He wasn't even in season one. And now he's this great villain. And I think even this season, he looks tougher. I think, I don't know why, but the black key might help, or he looks imposing. So I think they're doing a great job with him.
I think they are too. So I was just totally excited. And then there at the end, you know, he's looking at that picture, reminiscing about what happened. And I think that's who he was talking to on the phone. So I think we're going to get some Terry Silver. I'll put it out there now. Maybe I'm wrong. But
I guess if they were teasing us again or trying to trick us, but they showed the scene where Terry said, I owe you and whenever you want anything. And I did have the thought, well, I wonder why he never called Terry when he was like living in shelters and stuff. Maybe because he's too proud to do that. But anyways, it does seem like he's calling him here. Definitely. That's what they want us to think anyway.
All signs. Yeah. I mean, he's holding the picture, right?
Right.
Yeah. He's holding the picture.
And one out of those two guys was already killed. So
I don't,
could he be calling?
Bet anything it's going to be him, because they wouldn't want to tee that up and then pull the football away like Lucy and Charlie Brown.
Doesn't
do that. Right.
I hope not. I'm excited. I wonder if he'll still like have his long hair and ponytail like he did in the credit card movie.
That might be
hilarious
if he
looked exactly the same.
Right.
They might make him bald or something. Who knows?
Yeah. But anyway, that's my number one.
Cool.
You know, when you were saying that, I'm thinking too, there's a parallel between Kreese and Tori, because Tori was doing the same thing. I mean, if you let Tori go all the way, I think she would kill Samantha, or she would kill whoever she's trying to fight, you know?
I mean, she
hurt him real bad. I don't know about kill.
She seems like she's hell-bent on it.
She's, yeah, got a lot of...
She's on the path, I feel. I mean, when just even season two during the school rumble, I mean, she was like ready to do some real damage to Sam, like with the that knuckle thing that she had with the spikes, and that's what she slashed her on the arm with. I mean, she was going to hit her in the face with that.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can do it's some true. Serious damage with that. If you hit someone in the right place, you could get an artery or something and bleed out. So I mean, would she have done it at that moment at 17 in school? I don't know, but man, she's not on a good path.
No,
for sure.
And this time she had nunchucks, is that what they're called?
Yep.
So it'd be pretty easy to bash you in the head with one of those. Wouldn't take too much.
No.
And they there was really no winner there. Their fight got interrupted.
Right.
So
and they just
won.
Keep letting these people walk away. I mean, Kreese tries to kill you, and you're just like, oh, okay, let's settle this at the tournament. Tori's trying to kill Sam, right. And she's just like, oh, all right, this isn't over. Wait, didn't when she show up the first time, she's like, this ends now, tonight. And then she walks away saying, it's never going to be over. It's like, I think you might want to get your thoughts straight, Tori.
Maybe it's only over when Samantha LaRusso is dead.
Yeah. So my number one is, I want to talk more about Johnny. I feel like, you know, Johnny won in these two episodes. Johnny for the win is finally a season ending with Johnny's prospects looking up instead of in the toilet. The last two seasons, you know, he was in some pretty low places. So I'm really happy for him. I just so hope he doesn't screw it all up. I mean, I have a feeling he's going to, but I really hope he doesn't.
That is a great point. Last season ended on a really shitty note.
Yeah, so did the first season.
It did.
I don't. What was the first one?
They I don't know.
Lit his car on fire. Anyway, but this season ended on a triumphant note. So yeah
for him,
for everybody, really. I mean, sort of. It was.
He had a lot of wins. Like I think you were saying earlier, Jason. Even though he didn't hook up with Allie, it still feels like he won over Daniel for her affections, you know?
Yeah.
And Daniel seemed a little put off seeing him with her, or maybe just thinking about Johnny with Allie, you know, still a little bit there.
Absolutely.
Maybe.
But he's married and that's fine. He's happily married.
Yeah.
And I liked when Amanda was like, so Allie gets two hugs.
Right. Counting.
Cause it was nice that the two of them made friends right away, which is what you're going to try to do. If you're a spouse and you meet your spouse's ex or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's still maybe a little jealousy there.
And then in the end, he he's teamed up with Daniel and they're about to kick some Cobra Kai ass. hopefully. And he has Carmen. Oh, that was the other thing. You know, hopefully keeps him on the straight and narrow, because that's what he really needs. He needs, you know, like what Daniel has in Amanda. He needs that. The only loose variable here is Robbie, so it'll be interesting in season four to see how that all that plays out.
Yeah, I don't know if I really want to see Johnny fuck up his relationship with Carmen. I don't think that would be a very fun thing to watch.
That would be hard to watch, right?
Yeah.
So.
Hopefully that doesn't happen.
Yeah, just rooting for Johnny.
Cool.
Think he's finally catching a break.
Hope so.
Okay, yeah, that's awesome. All right, callbacks. Miguel says, I've got some secret moves of my own, and then takes Sam down sexily. See, impossible to defend, which reminded me of Miyagi telling Daniel about the crane technique. If do right, no can defense. Not quite the same mood there, but.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Let me show you how to do it, Daniel.
Closer.
Slower, Daniel. Just kidding. Oh boy. Okay. Kreese, I've mentioned the parallels between Kreese and Palpatine before, and this episode when Tori was saying to Robbie, you know, I hated you for what happened. I hated Sam LaRusso. I hated everyone. I hated myself. Sensei Kreese taught me that if you take all the hate and you channel it, and she starts kicking the bag, it makes you stronger and it feels good. And that's totally like Palpatine with Luke Skywalker. I can feel the hate in you. Give in. Mm-hmm. Strike me down. You know, just feels kind of like that. That's more of a reference than a callback. Let's see. When Daniel says to Sam, if you're going to have boys over, you need to leave the door open. And she's like, Dad, it's not 1984. Maybe that kind of reminded me when Daniel first shows Allie his car that Miyagi gave him. And she goes, you want me to drive? And he goes, it's the 80s. Daniel says to Allie, I took you for granted, our relationship, our friendship, and worst of all, your radio. Oh, no, Johnny says that. And worst of all, your radio. Yeah, you did mess up my radio, didn't you? You ran it over with your motorcycle. No, I didn't run it over. Dutch ran it over. I just threw it. So I like that he remembers that. Then Allie's like, I do remember punching you in the face, though. Johnny's like, yeah, I had that coming. Yes, you did. Which is the second time he's said he had that coming. The first time was in the bar with Daniel a couple seasons ago. And then she mentions that punch moment, and then the show sort of did a play on that scene because that was in the country club when Daniel walked in, and then Johnny like grabbed Allie and pretended to be kissing her, and then when Daniel left, she punched him in the face.
Mm. Yep.
I loved the conversation with Miguel about Daniel's past. I think we already talked about all that. Halloween. Yeah, we already talked about all that. Miguel was shocked that Johnny was a rich kid. I kind of like that. Mm-hmm. He was a rich kid.
Yeah. Yeah. And he made a connection with Daniel being from Reseda.
Right. Right. Yeah. 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 That was a way for them to connect. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how, like, when Daniel first saw Allie, and you imagine me being here back then, I was nervous about these places or whatever he said. I like that Johnny and Allie go to golf and stuff. Like, this show not only mixes and matches the rivalries, but also the dating. Like, that was Daniel and Allie's date, and it was almost the same thing, playing air hockey and all the same things that they did back in Karate Kid. During the Allie and Johnny's date, she gets a phone message, and she goes, oh, shit, I completely forgot. I promised my mom I'd go to the stupid party. That was just like with Daniel and Miyagi when it was Daniel's birthday. And then he goes, oh, shoot, my mom was planning a surprise for me. I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
Which just occurs to me. There's two things where there's a parallel between two lovers and then Miyagi and Daniel. Tori has a skeleton jacket on.
Mm-hmm.
That's a callback.
I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, he did? I didn't notice that.
Tori did.
Yeah, the fight at the house, she's got on like a black skeleton jacket.
There's the whole spaghetti thing. That's a big callback, but we already talked about that. And Allie giving her side of the story. Terry Silver. Yeah, that's it.
Good ones. Lots of good callbacks in these two episodes. lots of nostalgia, callbacks and stories and answering questions that we've had.
It felt like a high school reunion when you approach your exes or people that you used to fight with. I've had those experiences and you're like, oh man, we were idiots.
Yeah, same. You realize, hey, they're not such bad people after all.
Totally. Okay, notes.
The only note that I have that we haven't already talked about, and I don't know if this was on purpose, but it's something that just stuck out to me, was Daniel and Johnny both being in black and white clothes. Johnny was in all black and had the white coat whenever he was at the country club. And then later, when he's at the dojo, he's all in black when he's confronting Kreese, which, can we talk about the fights just for a minute? How that was another like super awesome moment for me, was like finally seeing Johnny and Kreese again go at it, which they kind of did a little bit before when Kreese first came back. But this was like a real fight, and to see them really go at it. And then when Daniel shows up, with just like when Kreese has got Johnny,
he's
down,
choking Johnny out.
Yeah. And he all of a sudden Kreese gets knocked over and it's Daniel. Oh my God. Yeah. That was like, so that was such an amazing freaking moment. I just like, I think jumped for joy. I was so excited. I was like, yeah, oh my God. Yeah. They're on like the same side.
And as soon as that, they started fighting Johnny and Kreese, I'm like, wow, who would have imagined back watching Karate Kid that these two would end up fighting.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. 35 years later.
Yep.
Yeah. And Johnny was in the black, and then he had the white jacket on earlier. So you got the black and the white. Daniel shows up and he's got his white shirt and black pants on. So he's wearing the black and white too. Just, it's like two sides of the same coin, yin and yang, know, the good and the bad, and how they're kind of the same.
And Johnny showing up at the country club in his white blazer, and Daniel's wearing all black because he's learned that you need to wear black when you go to
the club. Exactly. No more white showing up, just in case you're serving spaghetti. Twice,
huh? Right. It's spaghetti night, right?
Yeah. What's on the menu?
Yeah. But that's really all that I had that stood out to me that we haven't already talked about. So
that was a great scene, too. I liked that they place the adults on another level as compared to the kids. Like when Robbie wanted to fight his dad, Johnny, you know, and they started fighting. It's like Johnny didn't have any problem. It was just like, it wasn't like he wasn't even trying, you know.
Robbie, he was kind of just moving back out of the
moving
way.
Back.
It was all
out
defense.
Of the way,
he was defensive.
Yeah, doing a little Aikido. And then he's like, come on, I don't want to fight you. And then, you know, immediately knocks him out. But
it was an accident. That was sad. Accident, yeah. It was sad because Johnny just wants to be connect with Robbie. And when Robbie said, he delivered some line and he was almost crying when he said it, you know, he said, Kreese told me that Kreese was right, that I shouldn't be my own worst enemy, but you can be. And I was like, good job, kid. Like that was some of the best acting I've seen from him.
Yeah,
it
I agree.
Got me.
Yeah.
I liked, I didn't like this. I mean, Kreese, you know, when the kids went into the zoo and stole the cobra and then they brought it back to Kreese, was Kreese condoning the theft of the cobra, or was he just
pretty
commending
much
them on the teamwork? Because did he really know where he got the cobra from? I don't know. I don't know if I missed something there, but I'm like, yeah.
I don't know if it was clear, but I think he knew.
It's not a good thing.
Have to know that you don't, I mean, if, and I know it wasn't a real cobra, but you don't get a real cobra by legal means. So whether or not he knew it was from the zoo, he had to know that they somehow got
it. If he's
it.
Congratulating them, yeah, it's not like congratulations on buying the snake from the pet store.
Yeah.
Either way, right? Yeah. Probably not good.
I think he knows.
Dimitri, his asshole speech at the LaRusse's home. I thought that was pretty good.
Sorry for all the assholes.
I definitely like Dimitri a lot better this season.
Me too.
I do too.
He got on my nerves before now. But
when we were like, he's the most annoying character. Now we're like, hey, he's pretty cool.
Yeah. He's chill.
Johnny saying that he self-taught himself on Facebook. Took many hours.
Self-taught.
That was great. why does Kyle, you know, when
Kyler
and, Kyler and Miguel were fighting, why does he keep calling him Rhea?
Because something about diarrhea.
I say
in
that
the first season.
From first season. Oh. Yeah, he started calling him that.
Diarrhea. Okay. I forget why.
I
know. I was trying to remember that too. And I was like, damn.
Was
now I'm
when
have to go
Miguel
back and...
shit himself. No,
well, I thought about that. I was like, I know it has to be related to diarrhea. Now, why was he calling Miguel that? But I remember it came from season one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, Terry Silver. I was, when I was watching the episode, I was afraid the episode was over after the big fight at the LaRusso household.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, is this it? Wait. And then I had to pause it and look how much time was left. And I was like, oh good, we still have enough time for more action.
Yes. Me too. I was getting
a little nervous. Yeah.
That fight was making me anxious because it's in their house and there's like all this glass windows. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that's not cool. Busting up these people's nice home.
And on second watch, I was like, man, they did a lot of damage. That's going to be very expensive. You'd think Daniel would sue him or something, you know?
No kidding. That whole kitchen window that they threw Bert through.
Right.
And then looks like the one door was kind of busted and that glass coffee table was busted. And I got super nervous. They had that like beautiful like atrium there, like you said, with all those windows. And I thought, oh my God, one's going to go through one of those windows. I was freaking out as like a parent.
No teenagers watching this felt any of that.
No. Yeah.
It was awesome.
Tearing up the Christmas tree and the presents and
let's go fight right now.
Yeah.
Once you've had to buy a house and furnish it, you're like, oh
say yeah. Once you've paid for furniture and bought a home, you're like, fuck. Destroy that shit.
And you know exactly what your homeowner's insurance is gonna cover and what's not gonna be covered. It's
exactly.
Like, oh, yeah, that would piss me off.
You're right.
Those are all my notes.
We should get a teenage co-host so we can get
yeah, right.
Okay, my notes. Allie says her son is a soccer player, and Elizabeth Shue played some soccer. I think she was the only girl on an all-boy team or something. Her brother Andrew Shue played
professionally. Yeah, he did.
He was on Melrose Place.
The Melrose.
I liked when Johnny and Allie were talking about their Ferris wheel date. And, that was such a bad first date. But her second date was pretty good. It was really good. And she goes, it was. Yeah, it was. I'm like, what happened on the second date?
Yeah.
That's private.
That's funny. Funny stuff when Allie's like, when they're on their date eating cheeseburgers, when was the last time we saw each other? He goes, senior year must have been after the and then Johnny pictures getting kicked in the face and Allie jumping on Daniel going, you're the best.
Leaves a little sour taste, doesn't it?
That's so funny. And she's got kind of nervous, like awkward. Allie gets caught up on the situation as we come back into the scene of them all at the country club. She's all, so your daughter hit his car. You drew a dick on his face. Your cousin set his car on fire and tried to beat him up with a baseball bat.
You might be overplaying that a little bit.
Oh, well, that's pretty much what happened. Then when Allie's like to Johnny, why didn't you tell me about this at lunch? And Daniel's like, lunch? And Johnny's like, yeah, we made plans together, spent all day together. And how did this happen? Allie's like, he messaged me out of the blue. And Johnny goes, and then she friend requested me, kind of went from there. You know how it goes. And then the whole, like, Daniel introduces Allie to his wife as Allie Mills Schwarber. Actually, it's just Allie Mills now. And then Johnny's eyebrow goes up.
Yeah. He's actually a pretty nice guy. Nah, he's a jerk.
There was some really good music in these two episodes.
Yeah. It was like all 80s music, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Christmas wrapping. They played the same date music called Feel the Night, which was also the name of the episode that they played back in the Karate Kid movie back at Golf and Stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Journey's Open Arms. Phil Collins in the Air Tonight.
Aww.
Classics.
Aww, I love that Journey song so much.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Kyler at the zoo says, if I don't pass trig this semester, my dad's going to shit in my mouth. I'm like, oh, yeah. So here's
the bit of a stereotype, huh?
Maybe first little bit of an empathetic moment for Kyler. I mean, was he being literal?
Geez, I hope not.
I hope not.
I know. I you'd think if that was the literal truth, then he wouldn't be telling his friends about it.
Right.
All right. I guess that's it. Good job.
Cool.
Oh my gosh. So that good. I can't wait to rewatch all of it again.
Well, we'll take a little break, but you guys gave some great feedback and there's some news and stuff, so stay with us. Back. It's time for the news.
Okay. One little item this week, and that was a little bit of an interview with Allie with an I herself, Elizabeth Shue. So we know that she returned for a couple of these episodes as Allie Mills, and as we've discussed earlier, she is the woman at the heart of the initial conflict between Ralph Macchio's Daniel LaRusso and William Zabka's Johnny Lawrence. So she says, it was interesting to think of high school reunions. You know, you go back to high school, you were that person in high school, that's how people remember you. Then you go off and you live your life, and then you come back and you're kind of like, oh, who am I now, and how are you seeing me now? So she says that when she showed up on set, she had to kind of face, who am I now? Am I Allie? Am I that girl who just started out? Who am I? So it was great that it mirrored, my life and Allie's life almost exactly the same.
I think that was her first movie, Karate Kid.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
Just starting out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was. And she went on to have lots of other roles like that as well. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I think this one was her first one. Cause I think Cocktail. She went to college after that too, but yeah, Cocktail was a good one.
Leaving Las Vegas.
I love Leaving Las Vegas. That was so good. And then, one of the showrunners, he says, you know, Mr. Miyagi is a big, huge part of Daniel's character journey during the course of the show, but Allie with an I is the original source of the rivalry between Daniel and Johnny. And we've referenced her throughout the years. And so from the beginning, we knew that we wanted to bring her in and that we want her to be a force of good in terms of bringing them back together in this pivotal moment. And then Elizabeth Shue continues. She says, I felt like my relationships with the guys were the exact same. Nothing had changed at all. I was still punching them in the shoulder, and we were all still laughing about the same things that we were laughing about back then. But I would say that there's a deep appreciation for each other and for the experience of our first film being The Karate Kid. Just a lot of real admiration for each other and a lot of respect and being grateful that that was our first. So cool. First loves, first movies. But yeah, super great that they brought her back. I was so happy that she was available to do it and that they told it in a way that was, I thought organic and stayed true to the story and served the story really well.
It's great it worked out because Elizabeth Shue is at a higher tier actor, I think anyway. And they wrote all of these teasers into the story without knowing for sure whether she was going to come back on, I think. But the show was such a hit. I mean, maybe she would have come back anyway, but I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah.
I have one little thing. I learned from a little bird that they just started filming season 4 last week.
Ooh.
So that's cool. That's it.
That's it.
All right. Cool. Let's move on to listener feedback. Rima.
Janet Seidel says, absolutely amazing finale.
Alicia Stout, I freaking loved it. That is all I have spoken.
There's a House Podcast fan. Alex Baelish says, what an ending. They knew how to do a cliffhanger. Who could not love Johnny and Daniel bowing at the end? I love the backstory of all the characters this year. Can't wait for the big showdown next season. it'll be interesting to see how long Jay and D can work together, Johnny and Daniel. Alex has a new podcast. It's called Field to Screen. It's a sports movie podcast, if you guys want to listen.
Oh, yeah.
He asked me to come on, said I could talk about any sports movie except for Karate Kid. Because he's sick of hearing about it.
I'm
fine with that.
Shay Weed says, Johnny and Allie were great. Good seeing the memories and that Elizabeth Shue was still able to be that character. Glad Johnny did the right thing and didn't try to hook up with Allie. I think that Terry Silver is on the phone. Depressed that I have to wait for season 4.
Yeah. Pitilani Rec. I thought Hero and his team did a fantastic job choreographing all of the fight scenes in season 3. I'm on my 3rd rewatch of the series.
Yeah, she does martial arts herself, so I think that makes her extra interested, and she knows some of the people that work on it.
That's cool.
Tamura Scott says, redemption is never in a straight line. Hawk's 3-season story arc from a picked-on nerd to a badass to a bully to a Miyagi-Do has a beautiful pivot point from which we can all learn. Towards the end of the fight in the LaRusso home in episode 10, he looks around and finds himself beating up his old friends while fighting with /4 people whom he doesn't like and who don't like him. He realizes that this is not who he really is on the inside, turns away from what Croesus taught him, and begins the journey to become the person he wishes to be. I mean, I liked that moment where he high-fived Dimitri and they're fighting together, but he's just been such an asshole and seemed to relish it so much at certain times that I wish they'd made it a little more believable. I mean, I definitely did believe when he was... when Tori was egging him on to break Dimitri's arm and he felt bad about that. But there's even been times since then where he's just like, so it felt a little contrived, but I like the idea of it a lot. And I'm glad he's back on the side of good too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus they needed a little more firepower. So
Yeah.
Use another badass in the dojo. Gemma Hall says, loved them. When Johnny and Daniel fought Kreese at the end and it was intermixed with Kreese fighting in Vietnam, I was just on the edge of my seat. When Daniel showed up, I screamed. Then he used the pressure point technique on Kreese that Chosen showed him.
Oh, yeah. We forgot to mention that.
Yeah, that was really awesome. She goes on, bloody brilliant. I was actually saying, finish him.
Finish him, Daniel.
I love that. I think I was too. That's great.
He might have. He wasn't about to honk his nose, I don't think.
Yeah, no. I don't think he was going to honk the nose. She goes on, I think Daniel thought about it, but he's not Kreese. Obviously, then the end when the two dojos merge and Daniel and Johnny bow and the music is, can you hear it calling in the air tonight? Just bloody brilliant. I've watched it over and over. I can't wait for season 4.
Awesome.
Yeah. Maria Lawson loved the montage date that Johnny and Allie had, and that in the end, he made good adult choices by not kissing her. The cuts between the Vietnam fight and the dojo fight with Kreese were one of my favorite parts. I will continue to live in the department of suspension of disbelief that no one ever calls the police on this show, because I love the show so much. Thanks for covering this one.
Yeah,
haven't seen too much police presence, huh?
There would be no fun if you just kept calling the cops all the time.
Right.
They'd just eventually arrest everybody, huh?
Right.
Yeah, restraining orders all around. Okay, we got a few calls. Here's Steve Brown.
Hello, House Podcast again. Here we are at the end of season 3 of Cobra Kai, and wow. Great 2 episodes. I was really happy the way it ended, and I can't wait to hear you guys talk about it and dive deep into it. So I'm just going to give you a couple of thoughts. I haven't been able to watch the episodes again yet. So, but gosh, where do I start? Try to get 3 real quick topics out there. I love, you know, we knew it was going to come into play at some point, but I love Daniel using the stuff that Chosen taught him. I thought that was really, really cool. Hawk's redemption obviously is an amazing point as well. And it seems that Johnny and Danny kind of coming together. Daniel. I can't believe I said Danny. Daniel and Johnny finally kind of coming together. was really great. But we know the next season, you know, there's obviously going to be things that are going to pull them apart, because that's what this, that's how this story goes. And I love that they kind of wrapped up the Allie. They used Allie kind of that way to bridge these two guys, and, you know, tell, have her say, you know, stop living in the past and move forward. So I think that's great that we're going to be able to see how Johnny develops the relationship with Carmen. So, all right. Can't wait to see what you guys do next. I just watched episode one of Resident Alien with Alan Tudyk, and that might be an interesting one to do. I don't know.
Yeah, I've heard
talk
that.
To you later.
I don't know anything about it, but I'll look into it.
Yeah, I like the actor too.
Yeah, I mean, with Carmen, like, he was ready to tell her he loved her, and then he goes in and Miguel is beat to a pulp. He had just told her he wasn't going to let Miguel get hurt anymore, and she said, I know he won't get hurt because you're my sensei, or you're a sensei. So I don't know, maybe that will throw a wrench in things with Johnny and Carmen, who knows? Mm-hmm. Miguel's back at the dojo at the end, so I don't know.
Yeah, she might have been the one that sent Johnny out too.
Go get that bastard.
Go get that son of a bitch.
Beat up my son. Or is responsible anyway. Inciting all these kids. He's totally inciting them so much to do what they're doing.
I know.
It's gross.
All right. Here's Mark Kirkman.
Hi, Jason, Rima, and Richard. This is Mark. I just want to leave some feedback for Cobra Kai Season 3, Episodes 9 and 10. I just love the fact that we got Allie with an eye back. It was awesome. It was really cool that, you know, they go through the whole thing of, you know, Johnny meeting up with her after the Facebook encounter and all that. And then she puts a lot of things in perspective between both Johnny and Daniel at the event that she invites Johnny at. And I thought that was pretty cool because it cleared up a lot of things between her exit from Karate Kid 1 and Karate Kid 2, which is pretty cool. And the fact that, you know, she kind of led Johnny to go into his own little thing. And also that ending scene where we see Johnny and Daniel take up everything. That was amazing. That was pretty cool. You know, I'm anticipating what's going to happen in season 4. The fact that those two are working together now, I'm hoping it's one whole dojo. Ben and I were actually, you know, I was thinking, it's like, oh, what are they going to call it? Eagle Fang Miyagi-Do? But I think it's going to be probably just the Miyagi-Do at that point. So thanks for your coverage on this. And I anticipate what your thoughts were. Overall, I love this season. And I look forward to whatever you guys have to say about the final two episodes as well. And I will talk to you guys later.
So what do you think they're going to call it?
Miyagi Fang Eagle Do.
Miyagi Fang Do Eagle Kai Karate.
I still want an Eagle Fang shirt. I don't know what's happening with the two and what they're going to call it, but I still want an Eagle Fang t-shirt.
What does it say on the back? I forgot.
I don't remember.
Something about biting eagles or something. I forget.
The only true snake killer.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Here is Ben Beck.
Jason, Richard, and Rima, now you know how hard it was for me to stay spoiler-free when I joined you two episodes ago. So much awesome stuff in this episode. So many things we talked about. I knew what was coming, and I couldn't say a word. It was so difficult, but I'm so glad I held out.
Me too. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, this just, we finally get Allie. We knew you wanted it. We finally got it. And the adorableness and awkwardness aside, I love how they used her in these episodes. You have two characters in Johnny and Daniel who, up to this point, both have been fighting or trying to forget the past. But in two episodes, it took the past or a part of their past that connects them to help them both accept it rather than fight it or forget it. And by the way, I love how they lead you to believe there would be a repeat of the past when they showed the caterers serving spaghetti at the Christmas party. And Elizabeth Shue, she's still looking amazing as ever. That fight at De La Russo's home, holy shit. It seems like they step up these finale fights every season, and this time when they went Daredevil style with one continuous shot, it was amazing. I was totally with Greg a couple episodes ago, and in his feedback, he said how he was done with Hawk. He seemed like he was past the point of redemption, and I agreed at the time. But when he saved Dimitri and teamed up to take on Cobra Kai, let's just say it's amazing how one action can change your mind, and now redeemed. Redemption has happened. Cut to Johnny facing Kreese at the Cobra Kai dojo. Someone was going to die during that fight, if not for Daniel. But coming in, seeing the lesson that he learned from Chosen come into play was awesome. And I swore for a minute Kreese was headed back into the dojo through another window because he was standing in front of one. I thought Daniel was going to knock him through it. But that brings me to the finale and the most awesome scene, or the most awesome scene of the finale, rather. Everyone coming together at Miyagi-Do to a fantastic cover of In the Air Tonight. Not only that, but Johnny making the best entrance ever, coming into the scene during that famous drum solo. Serious chills. And just when I thought my chills couldn't get any bigger, we wrap the episode with Daniel and Johnny bowing to each other. This is seriously what I, and I know many people out there, have probably been waiting for. These two to come together. Now it's just waiting for season four, which can't come fast enough. There's a lot of stuff I could have talked about, but I'm trying to keep it as quick as possible. Thanks, guys, for the coverage this season. Great job, and I'll talk to you soon.
Mm-hmm. Great call.
Cool.
I hope it comes out this year. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I hope so. If they do it around the same time as they did season three, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. January 1st, 2021.
2022.
All right. Let's go to our last call from Jonathan Bukalil.
Yay.
Hello, Jason, Rich, and of course, the lovely Rima Jo. Well, that was another great season that left me looking forward to the next one, but still satisfied all my Karate Kid needs, which, to be honest, I didn't really know I had. And to answer the All Valley Council member, why is karate such a thing? I'll tell you why. It's the kick-ass fight scenes that were all super satisfying. Childhood heroes back killing it and treated with respect. Uncomplicated storylines you see coming a mile away, but they're all still so good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at you, Hawk. Welcome back to the
True.
Fold. And as Nick Problacki noted, this is exactly how the Star Wars sequels should have been handled. Love and respect for the original characters, with new characters brought in to help tell their story. It's like hearing old family stories you've heard over and over, but the joy is in the telling and the familiarity is all very comforting. I thought Ali's return was perfectly handled, although I kept expecting Homelander to appear and rip someone's throat out, or for John to start breastfeeding. In conclusion, Robbie still has a punchable face, Sam is still super annoying and continues the family tradition of trying to ruin Johnny's life. But of course, he was the bigger man in the end. And when he and Daniel joined forces, that was certainly a moment for me. I love all the characters and all the nostalgia. It's been a great run. But my favorite moment of the season was Jason's I'm not crying, you're crying ode to Mr. Miyagi. The room got a little dusty that day, my friends. Thank you guys for doing the podcast. It's been a highlight. And I must say the Zedhead community has been fantastic since I joined in the fun. So if you haven't jumped in yet, support your favorite podcasts and keep things rolling during the apocalypse. All the best, Jonathan.
Oh,
that was nice. Lovely. Thank you.
I think Jonathan wasn't, correct me if I'm wrong, Jonathan, but I feel like you weren't sure about watching this show when I said that's what House Podcastica was going to cover next, because I could see that, you know. I didn't think the show was going to be any good when it got announced, but I was going to watch it no matter what. But anyway, I'm glad you came around if that was true, and if not, I'm still glad you came around. But Jonathan is part of the Facebook group. That's what he's talking about, and that's through my Patreon, patreon.com/JasonCabassi. And we have a lot of fun in there, just chatting about pop culture, and there's events and stuff like that. It's really, really nice.
Cool.
Yep, a lot of fun.
All right, that is our show. Thank you for listening, everybody. Hope you enjoyed our coverage of Cobra Kai Season 3. It was really painful not to watch them all at once, but... now that we're done, I had a great time and it was really fun covering it with you guys.
Yeah, I think it was worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was fun.
Next episode of this podcast, David and I are covering the original 1973 Westworld movie, which I thought would be appropriate for this podcast, considering that we cover the Westworld HBO show on here. After that, I'm not sure what we're going to cover on this podcast or whether we'll take a break until one of the shows we usually cover comes back on. I think that's probably going to be Handmaid's Tale, but they haven't announced a release date, so I don't know. I'm thinking about maybe doing WandaVision, even though that's already a few episodes in, but I haven't decided yet. But if you've liked listening to our coverage and like our stuff, then just stay subscribed and we'll be back at some point or another with more stuff. In the meantime, be sure to check out the other podcasts at podcastica.com, one of which is Rima's Baby Strange Indeed, where you're covering The Stand with Ben, who we just heard on a call, and that's chugging along. I heard it's getting good.
Oh my gosh, yeah. This last episode, wow, was something. I'm really excited to talk to Ben about it, and it was a good one. So it's amping up. Only a couple more episodes to go.
Aren't you a Stephen King fan, Rich? Read some of those books.
Oh yeah.
Did you read The Stand?
I did. Did years and years ago. I watched the TV show too.
Mm-hmm. 94 miniseries. Yep.
Yeah. The miniseries.
Yeah.
I have yet to watch the new one. I still have yet to watch WandaVision too. I got to get busy.
I haven't seen WandaVision either.
Fascinating.
Yes.
I'm loving it. Yeah. Ben and Kristen are in the middle of season 4 of, speaking of Podcastica podcasts, of their Lost podcast, which is called We Have to Go Back, Lost Revisited. And they have a lot of fun on there just covering Lost, which is one of the great shows and influenced tons of shows afterwards. So I definitely recommend checking that out. You can also find that at podcastica.com. And on Walking Dead Cast tomorrow, Karen's coming back and she and I are covering The Queen's Gambit, which is a Netflix series and has nothing to do with zombies, but we don't care.
That's awesome.
It's a great show. Did either of you watch that?
No, my wife has. I've seen her watching it. I haven't yet.
It's good.
It's on my list.
Totally digging it. It's basically Rocky except with a girl and chess.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I've heard a lot of great things, and my daughter started it. So I asked her. I was like, "Is it worth the hype?" I'm hearing so many great things, and a lot of people love it. And she's like, "Yeah, it was really good," but she dropped off like the second or third episode, and she's like, "I don't even know why I haven't picked it back up." She goes, "I just didn't," but she enjoyed what she saw. So I need to watch it, but you know, there's so much to watch.
I've been playing chess a lot.
Yeah.
As I'm watching this. All right. Thanks again, everybody. That is our show.
Thanks for listening.
Anyone for a vegan mung gobble?
Cheeseburger, please. How's the burger?